No, after we have had a kind of silence and we have given to Jesus and to Mary our burdens, then we invoke the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, no way, we cannot pray. So call on the Holy Spirit. You might have beautiful hymns, but if you don't know how to sing, it doesn't matter. Call on Him anyway, with all your heart. Say, I cling to you, Holy Spirit. Without you, I can do nothing. Please, I beg you, come to me. And do you think He would say, no, I'm not interested in coming to you. Leave me alone. Of course not. He's dying to come to you. And He needs one single ring. And there He answers. He rushes to you. Call on Him. And once He has arrived, don't bother Him calling Him again. You know, when you invite your friend and say to your friend, sit down here. You don't go again and again to the door and tell him, come in, come in, come in, come in, eternally. No, He's there. So be with Him and share with Him. I remember once Nancy, you know, she's a great friend in Medjugorje. And on Pentecost Sunday, she made a point to call on the Holy Spirit with all her heart. And throughout the whole day, she was saying, please, come, Holy Spirit. Have me be filled with you. Inspire me, guide me. At the end of the day, nothing has happened. It was like a plain day, like nothing special. And the Holy Spirit, it seemed that He had not come. And she kind of complained to Him that after the whole day with Him, she had seen nothing. She thought, did I miss the boat? Did I do wrong something? And she was disappointed. She expected something she could grab, you know. But the next day, she met a woman, and the woman told her, you know, Nancy, I had dinner with you last night, and you said something in a conversation. And one word from what you said, just, it's changing my life. It's changing my life, Nancy. And what did she say? Well, I don't remember the exact word. It was something so plain, so common. But that lady got a shot of the Holy Spirit. And then Nancy said, oh, thank God, I didn't pray for nothing. I should have believed a little more that my prayer was heard. You know, the Holy Spirit is like Mary. Those two are always together. So discreet sometimes. He works, and He doesn't tell you what He's working at, but He does work. You cannot invoke the Holy Spirit with a pure heart without getting Him. The Holy Spirit is always doing new things. He never repeats Himself. You know, like the sun, every day it looks like the same sun. But you won't say, I don't go enjoy the sun today because it's the same sun as yesterday. Well, the sun might be the same, but there is a constant renewal of His rays. The warmth that you get today is a new warmth. The light is a new light. That warmth doesn't come from an old ray that you had yesterday that is recycled, so to speak. It's a new ray, giving a new warmth, a new light. And with the Blessed Sacrament, it's the same reality. You might see the same host, the same little round piece of white bread. But it is completely different from yesterday. A new rays, new warmth, new graces, new inspiration, new relationship, new. If the world knew that it is always a new item that you get from God, they would flock there before the Blessed Sacrament. My gosh, yes, they would. You know, in the street or in the magazine or on TV, we always see advertisements for new things. It is so boring. Boring! These dear people think that they are smart, but they don't do anything new. Only God is always new. We should advertise more for Him, you know. We should all be a living advertisement for Jesus. So we stand before God, not only for ourselves, but for Him who wants to save the entire world. And we are being a tool for Him. We are a channel for Him. We are an instrument in His hands. And through us, He will touch the whole world, mystically. You know, St. Louis de Montfort said this, if Our Lady would meet you in the street after you have received Jesus in the Eucharist, she would immediately kneel down before you and adore the real presence of Jesus that is in you. She would be so aware that you are carrying her son Jesus. I remember a priest, you know, I was in Nazareth, in my community, and he says, your job is to become a living monstrance of Jesus, a living monstrance for Jesus. And it's true, because when you have adored the Blessed Sacrament and that Jesus has transformed you, you radiate, and those rays reach everywhere. They get to the unbelievers, for example, to the sick, to the dying. to the little children in the womb. Who knows? Maybe you will stop a divorce. Maybe you will prevent a young person to commit suicide. Maybe you will heal a sick. Maybe you will comfort the dying. Maybe you will prevent a car accident. Who knows? Here is an example and a very practical down-to-earth calculation. According to the statistics, when a chapel of perpetual adoration is open somewhere, very soon you see a dramatic decrease of the rates of suicide, divorce, and all kinds of bad stuff. Did you know that? Jesus is working hard. He's working so hard. Even on Shabbat, and especially on Shabbat, he does much good. So the key for peace of our country is not in the politicians. Forget them. Forget them. Pray for them, but forget them. Well, God bless them anyway. They might be sometimes good, but anyway, they are not the key. The key for the real peace of our country is Jesus, and Jesus adored in the Blessed Sacrament. And the number of souls who get close to him and receive his peace is the measure for the peace that comes to a country. The more worshippers, the more peace you'll have. This is simple. Our Lady said, "Live peace in your hearts, and in this way, peace will flow from your hearts like a river into the whole world." The Mother of God said that. And she's repeating somehow the words of a very great saint of Russia, Saint Seraphim of Sarov. He said, "Find peace in your heart, and then thousands around you will be converted." Then when we adore, it's Jesus who operates within us and through us. It's not us. This is why it's so powerful. For each holy hour that we have, there is a special work of God that is prepared, that is in store. And the Lord has a plan, and he will occupy this holy hour doing this work. So if we miss it, we miss that work of that day, and we miss much. Each time, there is a new work prepared by him. Jesus is like an artist, like a sculptor, for example. He knows that if the piece of wood is under his knife for an hour, he will do this kind of nose, and the next day he'll do the eyes, and then the next day he'll do the hair, and then the next day he'll do the feet, and then the statue will finally appear. Beautiful, wonderful statue. For each hour, he has planned a new job to do. And this work of Jesus for us is our sanctification. We become what we contemplate. So if you are under the knife of this artist, this is God, well, maybe it's a brush. Let's say a brush, because if I say knife, you'll be scared. But sometimes it is a knife. Sometimes Jesus has to act like a surgeon. And thank God, you know, because we need to be freed from our cancers, from our spiritual tumors. We need that surgery sometimes. So Jesus, I'm sorry, he needs a knife sometimes, but for good. Sometimes he does it under anesthesia. Sometimes we kind of feel it, but it's good. And while we are adoring, Jesus restores our identity. He readjusts our mind, our heart on the right track. He readjusts the whole thing about us. He makes us whole. Many people who are depressed, who are broken, who know all kinds of hardships and lack of love and aggression, they are restored. Their identity is restored then, just by being before their Creator. Because, you know, God creates constantly, and he recreates what has been damaged. So 1 hour with him, wow, you get settled again. You get recreated, you get readjusted. It's incredible.